That throne will not be vacated. Amen. He will stay on that throne. Aren't you thankful for that? And I brought this up in Bible Institute as we were looking through about the original sin, of course, being with Satan up in heaven, that he didn't even think on taking over God's throne. He just said, I will be like the Most High. Even Satan knew going through all of that he wasn't taking his place. And he just wanted to be like him. And but I'm so thankful we serve a God and he's not moving. And not up for election either. Amen. Let's take our Bibles this morning, turn to Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. And so thankful for the Savior that we serve. Romans chapter number 8. There's so much, and even this morning I was going back over the scriptures, and I kept backing up further and further and further into Romans chapter 8, because there's so much that can be preached here. And but I want to share a few thoughts with us. If you found Romans 8 and you're able to, let's stand together for the reading of the Word of God. Romans chapter 8, we're going to read the last 9 verses or so, starting in verse number 31. Romans 8, 31, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I want to come back to verse number 37, will be our text verse, where the Bible says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. How many ever saw a sports team named the Conquerors? How many ever beat a sports team named the Conquerors? We're more than conquerors according to the scriptures. I want to preach for a little while this morning on this subject matter, because I think it's high time for Christians to start living like conquerors and living as conquerors on what the Lord has done in our lives. Living as conquerors. Out of Romans chapter number 8. Let's pray and then you can be seated. Father, we love you. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for stirring our hearts, not just through the singing, but through the testimony and the presentation of the need that's out there in Oregon. Lord, I pray that a Bible preaching church will be established there. Souls will be saved and families united, put together, moving forward for the glory of God. Lord, help us to have a part in reaching across this nation where the need is so great. Now, Lord, as we turn our hearts towards the Word of God this morning, I pray that you'd encourage us. Lord, would you encourage and uplift that defeated one, Lord, that is not living as a conqueror today. But, Lord, they're living in defeat, in failure. Lord, would you help us, encourage us today, draw us close to you, convict us now. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I'm so thankful for the Word of God. Some of my favorite, I can't say that exactly one or two are my exact favorite verses of Scripture, but I do love verses of victory throughout the Word of God. Now, there are verses of defeat as you read through there. God gives us glimpses and accounts of reality and burdens that are being faced. And we understand as we look into the Scriptures. But I'm thankful when we can come to places like this that says, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And may I remind us as we look at this verse of Scripture that the Apostle Paul is reminding the Roman Christians here. And let me remind us also that he did not put this in the past or in the future tense. That he was reminding these saints that are here at Rome, he says that we are more than conquerors. You see, so many times we go through life and we think that we just have to endure and be able to suffer through and live a defeated life until we're able to see our Lord and Savior. But may I remind us that we are more than conquerors today through Him that loved us. That's why we are able to be able to stand up and sing songs like Victory in Jesus. And who is on the Lord's side? And we're able to read verses of Scripture like this. And you say, well, Pastor, why is it that we can live today as conquerors in our lives? Because we look around and we see all the defeat and the discouragement and the depression that is around us. We see the situations that's going on, not just in our nation, but around this world. We hear of cities like this out in Oregon that have 40,000 people, and to the best of their knowledge, no one standing up and giving a gospel witness this morning for souls to be saved. We look across our region, and starting tomorrow night, I'll be down in Rhode Island for Monday night and all day Tuesday on a Save New England conference. That we're trying to emphasize the necessity and show the need that's across our region of churches just like this one to be established and moving forward across our region. You say, boy, it doesn't sound like we're more than conquerors with such a need that's out there. But I'm thankful as we look down through and listen, we'll just spend some time in Romans chapter 8 this morning and why we can live as conquerors even today with a task that is laid out before us. You see, on Thursdays, we've been studying through verse by verse and chapter by chapter for this entire year through the book of Revelation. And I'm thankful that God's given us the last few chapters of the book. That we can read the end of the Bible. We can read the end of the book and realize, hey, Jesus wins. And we come back with Him riding on the white horses. We're part of the armies of God, the armies of heaven that comes back with Him. But yet we don't have to lift a finger. We're not carrying one sword according to the book of Revelation. There's just one that proceeds out of the mouth of the Word of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ takes care of everything for us. Now listen, we don't have to wait till then to be conquerors, because the Bible says we are more than conquerors. There are several things down through this passage of Scripture that I could share with us. Some things that I could add to the message as I kept backing up this morning in the book of Romans. And I can say, just to give it to you, write this down. We can live as conquerors today because of the infirmities that we've been healed of. And you say, what do you mean? Well, back in verse number 26, and not just the infirmities that we've been healed of, but the infirmities that we can pray through. Verse number 26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. And aren't you thankful that when things come into our lives, an infirmity is something that is a sickness, something that has injured, something who has made its mark upon our lives. And I'm so thankful that through those infirmities, we're able to be able to pray and to be able to spend some time. And when we don't know what to pray about, I'm thankful that we have the Holy Spirit of God that'll pray for Him for us. But then I want to jump down to verse number 29, and I want to share four more thoughts besides just the infirmities. That would be the fifth one if we started off with that this morning. But I want to jump down and just have a few thoughts that have been written down. You say, Pastor, why is it that I can go through life, and why should I live as a conqueror today with everything that I'm going through? Well, let me say this in verse number 29. We can live as a conqueror because of the image that we're being conformed to. Verse number 29 says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. I love that phrase in there where it says that we're predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son. Do you know that everything that God is desiring to do in our lives and allowing to be done in our lives is simply for the express purpose of getting us to look like Jesus? Everything that is being done. And we're reminded the verse before that, which so many try to quote at times throughout our lives, Romans 8:28. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And for the sake of not misapplying that verse, that is not saying that everything that comes into our lives is 100% good for us. But it does say that all things work together for good. In other words, there's a God in heaven that knows exactly what we're going through, that has even allowed some things to be able to come into our lives, like we studied about with Job this morning, and allow some things to be able to take place, but then some things even of our own choices and situations of our own making that we sure love to try to blame God about. But it's not God's fault. But you say, how with all of these things that are coming into my life, how in the world can I live as a conqueror? Because we're understanding that we're being conformed into his image. You see, the greatest of artists, if they're painting a picture, and I'm sure, and I could ask Brother Conrad about this, that he could probably walk you up to any of his paintings that he has, and he could probably point out all the different flaws that are in there, all the mistakes that are there. But may I remind us that a wonderful artist is able to take all the mistakes that are in some life or some canvas and actually be able to make them all part of the complete picture and the masterpiece at the end of it. Now, where that illustration breaks down is it's not God that's making the mistakes in our lives. But it is when we get out from his plan and get out from underneath his umbrella and his purpose for our lives that we start saying, hey, God, I've got this, that we start messing some things up. And things start taking place in our lives. And then we say, well, how in the world? Weren't you thankful that God can even take a piece of clay that has been marred in the hands of the potter? And he can break that back down, and he doesn't throw the clay away, but he forms it and fashions it and makes a vessel fit for the master's use. God, take all of that. Aren't you thankful God can take a life that this world is willing to throw away and have nothing else to do with? And God can say, hey, I've got an image, something that I'm looking at, that I can make that life look like my son. And boy, I'm so thankful that we can live as conquerors. Listen, you don't see the end result. You don't see what God's trying to do in your life, but you can walk forward in victory today because of the image that God is conforming us into. He's not desiring that we be conformed into the image of this world. He tells us that by command over in Romans chapter number 12. He's saying, be not conformed to this world. And the reason being is because his desire is to conform us to the image of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And may I remind us that that is going to take place one way or another one of these days. You see, it's predestined to happen. Give you a side note, when you study predestination in the scripture, it's always in reference to those that are already saved. Just a little side note there. And you can bring your verse to me and we'll look at it in Scripture and I'll show you where it's predestined for those that are already saved. Okay? We look at this, it's going to happen one way or another, and I believe it's better to be able to start the process down here on this earth through the study of the Word of God, through prayer and submission to the Holy Spirit of God. But guess what? If you're not like Jesus, when the rapture takes place, you'll become like Him on the way up. I'm just praying it's not so much of a drastic change that has to take place, that I'm living more and more and looking more and more like Jesus every day of my life. You say, Pastor, how can I live victorious in this present world? How can I be a conqueror? Be a conqueror because of the image that we're being conformed to. Second of all, I want you to see this down in verse number 33. Look at this. The Bible says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? As I read down through here, it's in direct context of the Lord Jesus Christ dying for us in verse number 32. And then again in verse number 34, you say, how can I live as a conqueror today? Not just because of the image that we're being conformed to, but because of the innocence that has been declared upon my life. You say, what do you mean the innocent? Can I say this? When we are justified, we are declared innocent before Almighty God. I was listening to a song this week and I get thrilled and I get blessed just driving down the road by myself. You might not want to ride with me sometime if you don't want to see me get blessed riding down the car listening to someone sing an old song talking about what sin are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. As one preacher said, he says that the Lord Jesus, I think it was doing Pastor Hawkins, and the trio was singing over underneath the tent, that they sang a song about our sins being cast in the sea of God's forgetfulness as far as the east is from the west. And then God put up a sign that said, no fishing allowed. God forgave me of my sins. God cast them as far as the east is from the west. And according to the book of Hebrews, He will remember our iniquities no more. Don't you wish you had the same ability to not remember? But it's amazing all the things that we want to remember, we can't remember. But go ahead and try to remember that one hurt feeling that someone gave to you 35 years ago. And boy, it's a fresh wound that you can pull up just like it was yesterday. Hey, listen, if God's declared me innocent before Almighty God, then you don't have no right bringing it up. And guess what? I don't have a right bringing it up on you either. And just holding that sin over your head. Oh, but Caleb, don't you remember what you did 5 years ago? Hey, that's under the blood. God can't find it anymore. And I can't find it anymore. It is God that justifieth. It is God that has declared us innocent because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me ask this question. I could stop right here and we could rejoice for the rest of the day. Why is it that we walk around and we live and our complexion is constantly in defeat? God has declared us innocent based upon the blood of Christ. Well, I'm thankful for my Savior. Do you understand? It's Jesus that went through all of that so that I could be declared innocent. Jesus allowed Himself to be declared guilty and suffer the punishment of being guilty so that I could be innocent. The innocence that's been declared upon my life. What sin are you talking about? Go ahead and try to keep bringing it up to God. Now, God, don't you understand the sins of our pastor? Hey, if they're under the blood, He's not going to be able to find them. Not going to be able to. Hey, you can remind Him all day long if you want to. He's going to say, hey, listen, I just don't know what you're talking about. He's been declared innocent. Well, I'm thankful for that. You know, there'd be no way for us to be able to stand before an almighty God if it were not for the blood of Christ being applied to my soul and being declared innocent before a mighty God. Now, I'm so thankful. You say, well, my sin has me defeated. Then confess it and forsake it and live victorious as the conquerors that God desires for us to live as. Do you understand that God does not desire for us to walk around and live a defeated life? I heard one man put it this way one time. He asked someone, he said, how you doing? They looked back at him and said, well, under the circumstances, I'm doing pretty good. And he said, what in the world are you doing under the circumstances? He said, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Hey, listen, we have heaven that's waiting for us. We can live in victory today because of the declaration of innocence that has been applied to our lives. You say, well, Pastor, that's just not enough to get me out of my defeat. After all, the image that we're being conformed to, the innocence that has been declared upon us. Okay, let's keep reading verse number 34. It says, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God. And look at this. Who also maketh intercession for us. Hey, listen, if it's not enough that you're being conformed into the image of Christ, if it's not enough that you've been declared innocent before an almighty God, it ought to be enough that the Lord Jesus Christ died, was buried, rose again, seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And listen, we can live as conquerors because of the intercession that's being made for us. Hey, do you understand when you bow your head and pray that the Lord Jesus Christ has taken notice in heaven? Hey, we're talking about Jesus. We're talking about the only begotten Son of God interceding on our behalf. And do you understand not just the only begotten Son of God, but back in verse number 26, where we talked about our infirmities, the end of that verse says, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You understand that God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are actually going to God the Father on your behalf. That's what interceding is. That's what being an intercessor is. It's a go-between. It's, hey, if you have one in a court of law as an intercessor is coming, or even in a financial transaction or dealing with a contract, you have an intermediary, you have an intercessor that is coming between the two parties. You know why? To be able to make sure things are level and that they are reconciled. I'm saying, hey, we have God the Son, God the Holy Spirit that is going on our behalf to God the Father. Make an intercession for us. Boy, you must be someone special if the Lord Jesus Christ would intercede for you. You must be someone special if the Holy Spirit of God would intercede on our behalf in this matter of prayer. You say, yeah, I've got Jesus to do my talking for me. And yet we walk around defeated. And we walk around down in the dumps all the time. And we walk around looking at the circumstances that are around us and we say, how in the world can I ever live victorious and live as a conqueror? Listen, he's just reminded us, Jesus is on your side. He already made the statement here, if God be for us, who can be against us? Now listen, I just looked down through Romans chapter 8 and I'm saying, boy, it's no wonder he says that we're more than conquerors. You know something? Some of us, and this is just how it was said to me on dealing with my countenance, okay? You understand your countenance is how you look on your face. That's the first thing that the Lord said to Cain. Why is thy countenance fallen? Could tell that there was something wrong. My dad always said it this way. He said, some of you, he said, you're sitting there this morning looking like your mother-in-law just moved in with you. That's how he put it. And that's how I've heard it over and over. Or like you moved in with your mother-in-law. I won't let that go by either. Looks like your mother-in-law moved. Hey, listen. I'm just saying, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Understanding what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us and is doing for us and what He plans to do for us is enough for us to live as conquerors day in and day out. You say now, hey, we get discouraged from time to time. Yeah, I get discouraged from time to time too. And I sit back and look at things and then the Lord says, hey, you know, I'm interceding for you on that. When I don't have the words to be able to say, when I go before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm just trying to pour out my heart to you. Holy Spirit of God says, I got this. I'll pray for you on this one. With groanings which cannot be uttered, when we don't know what to pray, when we don't have the words to be able to make up the sentences or to be able to convey the thoughts, we have the Holy Spirit of God and we have this only begotten Son of God that's interceding and going to God on our behalf. What better duo could we have? Going before God Almighty. And I'm saying, what a blessing. Living as conquerors. God's just desiring for us to look like His Son. To be conformed into the image of His Son. That's all that God's desiring. Isn't that a blessing? He's just desiring to be able to declare us righteous and to be able to declare us innocent. But then I thought about this and we can get down to this. And I love this word down in verse number 39. He gives this entire list starting in verse number 38. He says, I am persuaded that neither death nor life. Now you tell me one thing that doesn't come under one of these headings as we're reading down through here. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities. Hey, listen, we're talking about natural things and supernatural things. That neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Hey, all the things you're worried about for the future. Those things neither. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. Fill in the blank. Nor any other creature. Doesn't say preacher, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I wrote down beside here, we can live as conquerors because of the isolation that is impossible. The isolation. Hey, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands because every one of us have been there and you just feel all by yourself in life. Do you know that you can sit in a congregation like this, upstairs, downstairs, you can sit amongst an entire crowd and feel all by yourself? I've preached to hundreds that are sitting inside of a prison. They filled up a gymnasium and we're sitting in there. It is amazing. They all come in talking to someone. They all have their little group that's around that they're fellowshipping with. But then you get them by themselves and they say, boy, I don't have anybody in here. And I can be in a crowd of 300, 400, 500 people sitting here in this gymnasium listening to the Word of God being preached, but I feel like I'm all by myself. And hey, listen, you may get that way throughout the week and you're staying back at the house and things are going on and you're saying, hey, I feel like I'm by myself. I'm isolated. Can you come back to Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39? Because listen, isolation is impossible in the love of God. Remember, He also told us over in Hebrews chapter number 13 that He would never leave us nor forsake us. Do you remember what Jesus told His disciples over there starting in chapter 14 of John all the way through the next chapters? He said there, He said it's actually expedient for Him to go away because if He goes away, guess what? He'll send the Comforter. And the Comforter was not in human form that could only be in one place at one time. The Comforter is the Holy Spirit of God. And the Bible says that He indwells us, that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. And if we're a child of God, listen, we're indwelt by the Spirit of God. That means we never go anywhere without the presence of the Lord with us. You say, well, who can separate us from the love of God? Absolutely nothing and no one. You know, I love when the Bible says that we're placed in the hand of God And no man can pluck us out of the Father's hand. You know, there's nothing that I can do to get myself out of there. And there's nothing you can do to get me out of there either. Nothing is going to separate me from the love of God. Boy, aren't you thankful for that? Isolation in the Christian life is impossible. Because we always have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of us. Now listen, if Romans chapter 8 spells this out so plain and clear to us, plain and clear, we're to be conformed into the image of His Son. It's going to happen. You understand at some point, I'm going to look like me. When I get to heaven, you're going to know me as Peter Chamberlain. Okay? We're going to be known as we're known. But can I say this on the spiritual side of things? We're going to be just like Jesus. No fault, no failure. Nothing that someone's going to be able to come up and say, this is wrong in your life. No, I'm conformed to the image of Christ. Boy, I'm thankful for that. I've been declared innocent because of what Jesus did. I'm so thankful for the intercession that the Spirit of God and the Son of God makes on my behalf. I'm thankful that as a believer, listen, there is no way for me to be isolated because I have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of me. You know what each one of these things are? These are just blessings that is recorded for us in Scripture. That we can look down through the passage when the Bible says, ye are more than conquerors. That we can look back through the Scriptures and say, why? And why should I live victorious today? Why should I live as a conqueror today? Because of what Christ already has done for us. Because of what Christ is doing for us. And what Christ is planning on doing for us. We can live as conquerors today. So here's the question. Are you living defeated? Are you living down? Why not live as a conqueror today? Why not live in victory for what Jesus has done? Why not say, Lord, I'm not going to allow the devil to defeat me throughout life because of this situation and that situation and what we've gone through. I'm not going to allow the devil to defeat me in that anymore because in all these things we're more than conquerors. Now, I'm not talking about just having a mind over matter type situation. I'm not just talking about the power of positive thinking. I'm talking about the power of positive doctrine. I'm talking about things that are true according to the Scripture. I'm talking about what the Lord Jesus Christ has already done for us and what He's provided for us and what He has in store for us as He continues to intercede on our behalf. And by the way, and we'll close in prayer, I've been translated from the power of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. Let's stand for a word of prayer this morning.